All right, church, let's get Brother Josh in our prayers, and let's pray for him that God will, I've heard it said several different ways that maybe they say I can get out of the way, but I heard Brother Roger say it like this, and it always stuck with me. He said that I don't want to get out of the way, I want to get in the way. So let's do that for him, let's pray for him, let's hope and pray that God's got something for us in store. No doubt he does. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother Josh. Love him and appreciate him. Let's just get behind him tonight.
I will try not to break this. I've broken at least six, I think, at this point, so I promise I'll try to keep the cord in the pocket. I'm thankful to be in the house of God tonight. Thankful to be able to come worship with Riverside again. It's been a little bit since I've been able to be here. God's blessed me to be the pastor of Glory Lane United Baptist Church for the last, 18 months now, and so pastoring, it's a little bit more difficult to get away, but I'm thankful for the work that God's allowed me to be a partaker in. But I'm also thankful that God's allowed us to come over here, and I just want to be an encouragement to the church, help to the church. You guys have been a help to me. We want to go to the book of Judges. The first chapter is where we feel like reading. We're going to read the last few verses of the first chapter of the book of Judges, and then we're going to go to the second chapter, read a few there, and we may also get to Jeremiah here in just a little bit. I know it's a lot of reading, but I don't ever want to get out of the Word of God. I've seen a lot of preachers, and they will just read a few scriptures, and that's fine. But then start telling stories, and that's not what I came to church for. I came to get the Word of God. John chapter 6, Christ says, I am that bread of life. And he said, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it's written of me. This is Christ in the Word of God. This is what he is. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and so was in the beginning with God. I want the Word. That's what I desire. I don't care what man says, to be honest. I want thus and thus saith the Word of God. Judges chapter 1, we're going to read the last four verses here, and it says in the 33rd verse, it says, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth-Anath, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh and of Beth-Anath became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heres, in Ajalon, and in Shalbim. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. In the coast of the Amorites was from the going up to Akrabim, from the rock and upward. Second chapter. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Boshim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Boshim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mountain of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered under their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. You can be seated. That's the reading of God's word tonight. We're here in the book of Judges, the first chapter. This is not too long after Moses had died, and we're really seeing a lot take place
in this first chapter over here. And Joshua now is the one that's leading the children of Israel. And there's been a transition of leadership. If you'd have it that Moses, you know the story about how that God chose Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. There they are, and they're dwelling in bondage. And they have taskmasters that come over, and they will even beat them, and they take away the resources that they're supposed to work with. And Moses goes, and Moses is dwelling in a little land called Midian. And as Moses is there, he sees God come in the form and speaking out of a burning bush over in Mount Horeb. And there God begins to tell Moses that you're going to go over here back to the land of Egypt, and you're going to bring my people out, and you're going to go. And Moses, of course, says, Lord, who should I say has sent you? And he said, tell him that I am has sent you. I'm glad tonight that it doesn't matter which one of us is bringing the message tonight, that it should never be Josh Dean behind this desk or Dylan Perry behind this desk. It should be Christ that's getting lifted up. Look, church, I know that God's got a lot in store for you tonight. That God has given some of you some visions about places that you're going to dwell in spiritually. But it's up to us to keep our end of the bargain for what God tells us to do. God's promised. He's faithful. He's not slack concerning his promises where other men count slackness. My friend, I can make a promise unto you and turn right around, and because I'm flesh, even if I don't mean to, I'll break it. But bless God, Christ, he's the author of salvation. He's the one that is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. My friend, his word, it is true. His promise will come to pass, but we have to do the work that he tells us to do. Moses tries to buck against what God tells him to do and even make a few excuses. He says, Lord, I can't even talk. I've got a stuttering tongue. And God said, Moses, that's just an excuse. Here's your brother Aaron. He can help you out. But you know what I like? I don't read about many times that Aaron got up and spoke to the children of Israel. You know why? Because God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call tonight. He'll use you even when you think you're not worthy, even when you think that you can't be a vessel. Hey, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I wasn't a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven, but Christ took his blood and washed my sins away, and he made me worthy today. Moses goes, and they get out of Egypt, and they go a little further, and there they are. You know the story, how that waters over there, the Red Sea, they were parted, and they walked over on dry ground. My friend, that's a picture of salvation. We all were in bondage to sin. We all dwelled in Egypt. We needed a deliverer. Well, it wasn't Moses. It was Christ. He came, and he came and died on Calvary's cross so that I could be saved. But not just died, but he was raised on the third day for my justification. Look today, because of him, I'm able to live, because he lives within me. They cross over there, the Red Sea, and get to the other side. And as soon as they're there, God looks and tells them, hey, I made a promise all the way back with Abraham that you were going to go and you were going to dwell in the land of Canaan. And he said, listen, if you'll do exactly as I tell you to do, then I'll go before you. There's seven nations that are dwelling over there that are mightier than you, that you won't be able to drive out on your own. But if you just serve me and serve me only, I'll go before you and I'll drive them out and I'll take care of them. I like what Jehoshaphat said. He said, behold, the battle is not yours, it's God. My friend,
He's already got victory over death, hell, and the grave. It is living in you today. Don't live in defeat. Don't let Satan get you down. I'm living victory today.
There they are. And God tells them, if you would just heed my word and do exactly as I say, and you go and are willing to fight, I'll drive them out of the land. And they said, Lord, we'll go. But then you know what happened? They sent 12 spies over to spy out the land. And 10 of them get scared and come back and have a bad report and say, look, it's going to be too hard for us. There's giants in the land. There's nations with great kings. Hey, my friend, I want to tell you something. Each and every one of you that are saved by the grace of God, you've all came out of Egypt. You've all passed from death into life. You've all had the bonds of sin broken. But there's some of you today that not have gone up to the land of Canaan. You haven't gotten into the promised land. What are you saying? That's the place where you dwell at peace with God.
Amen.
Well, that doesn't sound good. I thought when I got saved, I went to Canaan. My friend, Canaan's a choice. They were still saved. They still escaped Egypt, and they dwelt for 40 years in the wilderness. Why? Because 10 of them said, hey, we can't go over. We can't defeat these things. You said, well, there's seven nations. My friend, the Bible says that there's six things that God hates, and seven are an abomination unto him. You know what those things are? They're things that are dwelling in your flesh. If you let those things stay in your life, you'll never dwell at peace with Christ. So they go, the 10, they say, we can't take it. But there was two. I said, boys, did God not deliver us from the hand of Pharaoh? Did he not bring us out? Did he not defeat Og and Magog over here on this side of Jordan? When we get over there, he's going to win that battle too.
Yeah.
My friend, don't get satisfied with mediocre victories. When God says you're going to have a full victory, you're going to have a full victory. When God says you can come and dwell in the promised land, you can come and dwell in the promised land if you obey the word of God. There's 10. It said that God told him, because of your disobedience, all of you that are 20 years old and upward are going to die in the wilderness. All those that are younger, they're going to be the ones that partake of the promise. My friend, dwelling in Canaan is dwelling in the things that God has promised. God's promised us that he's going to save our homes. He's promised us that he's going to fill up this church. He's promised us that Joshua's going to rise up instead of Moses. Hey, there's transitions of leadership all throughout the Word of God. That's okay. That's not a bad thing. But it's up to the elders of the church to make sure Joshua is getting raised up the right way. It's up to Eli to make sure Samuel knows how to keep the lamp lit. But the problem is too many Elis have left the lamp in the temple. Go out. Why, my friend? Because we've forsaken the oil of God. What is that? It's the Spirit. Get the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside, and the fire will be burning bright. Eli was over there, and it said he let his own sons start to do things in the temple that were ungodly, and then he forsook his duty of making sure that the temple's lamp was lit. My friend, God's lit a lamp in all of us. Ye are the temple of God. He put that Spirit inside of you. It's up to us to make sure that this flesh, it gets trimmed, that old wick, and make sure that it gets trimmed back, and the light, it'll burn bright. But my friend, if you let the things of the flesh keep on hindering you in your life, then your light, it's not going to shine bright. You're not going to have the power of God, and your lost won't see Christ. Look, Judges, he said, behold, I gave you a promise that if you would just heed my voice and do what I said to do, I would take care of these things for you.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, I've been struggling with this in the flesh. I've been struggling with that in the flesh. I've got this sin, and I just can't break it. I've got this habit, and I can't break it. I've got this thing that occurs in the church, and I just can't get over it. My friend, those are things of the flesh. It's because we haven't let those things get slain in our life. Paul said, I must mortify the deeds of the flesh of this body. It's our duty to die out to sin and let the inward man take control. When that happens, you dwell in the land of promise.
Amen. Right. Amen.
They went over, and at the very beginning, Reuben looked at him and said, boys, I know you're going to go to the land of Canaan, but I'd rather dwell on this side of the river. The land of Canaan, it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. They had clusters of grapes that were so big that it took two men to carry it on their shoulders. I could see Caleb and Joshua walking back with a cluster of grapes and looking over those other 10 that had the bad report and said, boys, you can do what you want, but I'm going to sit here and eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan. You can do what you want. You can be like Reuben and stay on the wilderness side of the river, but I'm going to go and eat the fruit of the land that God has promised. They go, and then God tells them, now it's time to fight. Get ready. Church, it's time to fight.
Yeah.
It's time to battle. It's time to pick up that sword and do like they did in the days of Nehemiah. And get a sword in one hand and a hammer in the other.
Amen.
And they said, even though Sanballat's going to fight against us, so built we the wall. Look tonight, it's up to us. The Satan, he's like a roaring lion. I'm seeking whom he may devour. He wants to take your home and take your church and take your job and take everything you hold dear. But if you build the wall, Christ will protect you.
Amen.
So they go, and it says that the first ones, Simeon over there, and the different ones in the first part of the first chapter, they were willing to fight. They rose up, and they fought well. They utterly destroyed multiple nations in the land of Canaan. But you know what happened? It's the same thing that happens to you and I. As Christians sometimes, is we get a little slack, and we get a little lazy, and we get a little comfortable, and say, you know what? Instead of utterly driving this thing out, hey, it's okay, I can do a little sin and Christ is going to forgive me. Oh, my friend, he's a forgiving God. But the Bible says this, that if you sin willfully, there is no sacrifice for sin. My friend, there's a payment to be had when you willfully sin against God. You know what that payment most of the time is? You're hindered in the Spirit of God. You don't have as much power as you once did. But if we say, God, would you get us back to the spot where we can feel your power again? God will use that, and God will dwell in the midst of your heart.
Amen.
Some of them started to go, and it said that they were willing to fight. But a little further, and it said that they made some of them tributaries. You know what's that, what that means? It means some of them, instead of getting killed, they said, you know what, instead of killing you, we're going to let you pay payment to us. And you can still live here. You can still dwell here. Well, that doesn't sound that bad. You know why it's bad? Because some of their kids started marrying their other kids. The children of Israel were not supposed to have anybody else that they married up against. It was supposed to be pure. That's how you are, my friend. You're supposed to be pure, a pure bloodline. But if you marry yourselves out to the things of the flesh, the things that God promised that he would drive out, it'll be a thorn in your side.
Amen.
And it said, over here, the last few verses we read in the first chapter, it said that it got to the spot where they struggled to even drive them out at all. Some of them, they couldn't even move. They couldn't even make tributary. You want me to write that second to last verse? It said, but Judah prevailed.
Amen.
Who's Judah? The lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus Christ. He can prevail against sin, my friend.
Right.
We shouldn't be satisfied with letting the flesh pay tributary unto the inward man. We should say, God, kill every little bit of this flesh. I want to dwell in your promise.
Amen.
You can do it through the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's
second chapter. It says, look, God told you what you needed to do. He told you. Did he not bring you out of Egypt? Did he not let you cross over the Red Sea on dry ground? Did he not swallow up Pharaoh and the whole army right there when it seemed like you had no hope? You know what the angel's saying to us as children of God today? Did he not bring you out of sin? Did he not bring you out of the miry pit? Did he not set your feet on a solid rock? Did he not establish your goings? Did he not put a new song in your heart? Then why are you not willing to heed the word of God? The angel said, I told you. But you didn't heed the word. And now, these people have become a thorn in your side and will be a thorn in your side for the rest of the days of your life and for your children's lives. Then you know what happens? Joshua dies. Church, who are we serving tonight? Are we serving Joshua? Are we serving Moses? Are we serving the one that led them? God. Who are we serving? Joshua dies. The elders die. And then it said, and then there came up a generation that knew not God. You know why that happens in churches today? It's because we failed to teach the next generation. We failed to take the younger and say, hey, I know the way. Watch me because I'm watching him. We lift up men. We lift up women in the church. And I get it. I love people too. I love people in my church. I love the members that God's blessed me with as a pastor. But you know what, Dylan? I'm glad. God's given me a church. When I first got up there, we had about 5. And then now in a year, we're up to 15. And that 15, they love the Lord with their whole heart. There's no turmoil. They just want to eat of the word of God. And God will send you the pastor that's willing to feed the flock. Not out of constraint, but willfully, because God's placed the love in him for the church. Christ looks at Peter. Peter, do you love me more than these? Yea, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me more than these? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Look, a pastor or a deacon or a song leader or whatever you are, a teacher, it's not for you to have the preeminence, my friend. It's not for you to be lifted up and get the glory. It's for Christ to get the glory. I get to eat when God's people get to eat. I get fed when God's people get fed. The disciples were out there. I'm just wondering, on the Sea of Galilee, couldn't catch a fish. God looks, and Christ calls and says, have you any meat? They say, no, Lord, we haven't caught a thing. He said, cast on the right side of the ship. Hey, he's not talking about the right side of his head for us that are saved by the grace of God. He said, cast on Christ's side. They brought in a great draught of fishes.
Right. Yeah.
But you know what I like doing? When they got back to the shore, and John looks at Peter and says, hey, I think that's the Lord. And Peter jumps in the water and goes swimming, and they had to bring that big old net full of fishes back to the shore. They didn't eat of a single fish that they caught when they got back to the shore. There's Christ with fish baking on the coals, and said, boys, come and dine. Look today, even when you've drugged the net and you've casted the net and it doesn't feel like you're getting anything in, Christ has got a feast back on the shore, and you just run back to right where he's at. He'll feed you today. The children of Israel looked and they wept bitterly because they disobeyed the voice of God. Jeremiah 3, verse 15, he said, if you would return and you would come back my way, I would give you pastors that would feed the flock. Look, When one man moves on and another one's time is to come, you need the man of God that's going to feed the flock. Not so he could come in. Riverside, you've got a lot of good things going for you. You've got a beautiful building, a beautiful congregation. God blessed you tremendously. Boy, if somebody were to look in the flesh, they'd say, boy, I wish I could have that. But woe unto the pastors that have become brutish and have shepherded the flock woefully, and that those that are there, Jeremiah 23, and scattered the sheep. My friend, that's not the kind of pastor that God wants to bring in this place. That's not the man of God that God wants. You need a shepherd that knows what it's like to be amongst the sheep, one that can be there and knows what it's like to feed the flock. God provide. But it's up to us to move up to where God's at and slay the things that are hindering us. And slay the things that are in the way for God to answer. God wants us to dwell in the land of promise. Spiritually speaking. Yeah, I know we're going to heaven. Great. And you said, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen either. The Bible said, eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him. But listen to this. But by the Spirit, God has made us to see some of these things. My friend, he's let me sit in heavenly places. I've been to spots where the power of God just comes down in such a great and mighty way that the men of God had to stand back and they can't even stand to minister. That's sitting in a heavenly place. I could care less if there's a street of gold. You know what I want to see? I want to see my Savior's face, and I want to thank him for saving me and for dying for me and coming and taking on my sin. And that's good enough. If the elders over there were taking their crowns and casting them at the feet and saying, holy, holy is the Lamb that was slain. And you better believe this old wretched sinner is going to take his crown and cast it at the feet of Jesus too and say, that's not worth a thing. All that's worth anything is what you did when you saved a little 9-year-old boy in a revival at Mount Calvary, a missionary Baptist church. And that's good enough. Are we dwelling in the land of promise? If God's promised you some things and you feel like you're not dwelling in them, it's because you've hindered yourselves by buddying up and marrying up to those things that God said don't touch. Achan, God said when you get over to Jericho, don't touch of anything of the city. And Achan looks and sees a little wedge of gold, a little bag of silver, and a Babylonian garment, and takes it and goes back and hides it in the tent. How many sins have we hid in our tent? Hey, Agent, I want to tell you tonight, it's not just affecting you. It's affecting your wife. It's affecting your kids. It's affecting the whole congregation. They went and fought, and they got whipped by a little town called Ai. And Moses wept, and Joshua wept and said, Lord, why is this happening? He said, behold, there's sin in the camp. God called Agent out. God said, Joshua, cast lots, and it went down to the tribe, and it went down to the head of the household, and it went down all the way to Achan. And Joshua said, what is it that you've done? And he said, I took some things from Jericho, and I hid it back here in the tent. And God said, slay him. Achan, his wife, and all of his kids died that day for the sin of one man. My friend, there's a payment for sin. When God says, don't touch it, don't touch it. When God says, quit buddying up to it, don't buddy up to it. Stand on what thus and thus saith the word of God. That's the true foundation. God's given you a great thing. Amen. Hold on to it. Yeah. Hold fast to the things of which we've heard, and God will provide. Amen. That's the message. I know it's different. Stand tonight. Maybe somebody needs to pray. Someone come and get a song. Church, God wants us to dwell in that land. Where we can feel his power, where we can feel his spirit, where we can feel his presence. That every little thing that comes our way, Dylan, we're at peace because we know that he's going to take care of
it.
When we're there, that's a joyous place to be in. Too often we get caught on the other side of the river and wondering where the next meal is going to come from. We get tired of the manna, we get tired of the quail. But God said, hey, there's a promise for you on the other side of the river if you would just obey. Yep. Obey. Listen to what God said. Go ahead and sing tonight. Maybe somebody needs to pray.
I need to pray.
Message. I don't need to. God bless us tonight. He mentioned the tribe that stayed on the other side of the river there. Are you willing to stay? Are you willing to stay on the other side and not receive the blessing? Are you willing to go across and get what God has rightfully given to you? Not because of anything that you've done, not because you're good, not because you're perfect, not because you're precious, because Christ is precious, who lives inside of you. You have a heritage with the King now. You're not just somebody, you're not some run-of-the-mill person anymore. You're a child of God. We don't deserve the things that God has given us, but rightfully so. I love when He gives them to me. But if I had the choice to stay in the wilderness like the children of Israel there, if I had the choice to roam around for 40 years, if they could have looked in retrospect, I could almost imagine that they would choose not to walk around in the wilderness for 40 years, that they would choose to go straight into Canaan. Let me tell you something, friend, before we end up walking around in the wilderness, let's look at this and let's see what God has put
through Josh here, and I appreciate it, and I love it. Let's go ahead and let's get into Canaan. Let's go ahead and let's push forward. Let's go ahead and let's just move. When God says move, I remember when the Bible talks about when they were standing at the edge of the Red Sea. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation. But God said, no, move forward. I want you to understand something today. When God tells us to move, Brother Josh, we got to move. You might miss your opportunity to take a step. I don't want to be the Christian that has to stay where he is because I lost my opportunity. I want to move forward when God says move. I want to push forward when God says push. I want to fight when God says fight. And if God says to stand still and just be part of my flock, stand still and just let me love you, I want to stand still. But it's all what we do when God tells us to do it today. What's he telling you to do? He's always telling us to push forward. He's never said we're too close. It's us that push him away. If it was up to him, man, he'd had everybody as close as he could. I've mentioned this before. I love hugging my dad. Something about my dad's hug is just, it's comforting. It's securing. I can feel his strength. I can feel his love. God's the same. Man, when you get in there and you get a real tender-hearted hug from God, there's nothing like it. I thank God for Josh tonight. I needed that message. I'm sure we all needed that message, or it wouldn't have come out that way. I would almost venture to say that Josh would probably charge you with the same thing. Are we going to move forward as a church? As individuals, as God-loving, God-fearing people, or are we going to stay where we are? It's up to us. They're going to sing one more verse, maybe. A little bit more. Friend, you have right now, you can stay where you're at, wander around the wilderness, or you can cross over and get into Canaan. What's it going to be? I'm not telling you got to come up here and pray. You can find an altar in your seat. You can find an altar in the highway. It doesn't matter. God will meet you where you'll meet him. I want to move forward. I can't wait for what God's got in store. I can't wait. But while I can't wait, I got to wait. Because God's going to be the one to bring it. We can't force things to happen or we'll just mess it up. That's where God's love comes into play. He'll tell us what we need to do. He'll tell you what you need to do. Maybe you need to step forward. Maybe you need to move up. Maybe you need to do something more. God will bless you if you do it. Just like how he mentioned Moses. Moses was afraid that he would do something wrong. But God told Moses that he would fill his mouth. Man, if you do what God tells you to do, he's going to fill you up. That's plain and simple, all there is to it. If we're doing what God's got us to do, if we're right in the smack dab in the will of God, man, he'll fill this church up to where he's busting out every seam. But we got to get on board. Thank God for the message. That was wonderful. Perfect. I loved it. I needed that. That's plenty. I trust and believe that everybody here is where they need to be with the Lord. If regrettably so, if you're not, you can be. But it takes your humbleness to get in tune with God. I'll say that. But I want you to understand something today. God's not a God that doesn't care about you and I. He cares so much that the Bible says that he wakes us up every morning, puts us to bed every night, helps us breathe. Because I'll tell you what, if I didn't have God in my heart, my brain probably wouldn't even know how to breathe. That's how in tune God is with you and I. He loves us tonight, church. He just wants to encourage us and show us that with his help, we can conquer all things. There's nothing that we can't do if we have Christ on our side. Love that message. Appreciated that message. I'm going to ask if there's anybody that's got anything on your heart that you feel like you need to do. testimony, anything before we